Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hallelujah. I'm going to change it up here. We've been at times doing offering songs just during the offering. I don't know if they're offering songs, but you should give. Okay, so it's not really like that, but yeah, you don't want me to sing, trust me. Anyway, so we're going to start a new series this morning. Also, just FYI, there are still invites and stuff out there at the back table. If we're out, we have more. We also bought some, what do you call them? Tracks, yeah. I was going to say scripts, but that didn't sound right. Tracks, if you want to take some of those, you can at the back table and hand those out. We're going to hand those out on the trunk or treat. You know, you can be light in darkness. So even on Halloween, you can walk in light and be a light to, you know. And I'll just say this. A lot of people on Halloween are not worshiping Satan. I said a lot of people on Halloween are not, they have no clue what they're going to get candy. And they just were raised, you know, that you dress up like a vampire or whatever. You know what I mean? They don't know what they're doing. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily right, but I'm just telling you, they don't, you know, it's not like you have to sprinkle holy water all over your front porch, you know, to cleanse yourself from the, people say, well, you shouldn't make fun of it like that. Why not? You think God's in heaven going, it's Halloween. The Satanists come out. The church should be out with them. You have authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to be a light. And you say, well, people will come through dressed in bad costumes. Yeah, but we won't be dressed in them. And we'll just love on them. Amen? It'll be great, won't it? Okay, so I can't get off on that. But anyway, so we're going to be a blessing and be a light during that time. And we're going to put some of those tracks in the bags of candy that we give. And then an invite for the church as well. So every person that comes through will get all those things at the... Amen? Just to be a light and a witness. You say, well, what if they don't come to church? I don't care. I want them to get saved. Amen. Amen. I don't. You say, well, don't you want the church to grow? Yeah, I want it to grow. I want them all to come here. But you know what I know? Not all of them are coming here. But I can still advance the kingdom. Amen. So that's why we do that, which is fun. I like it. And you get to eat a bunch of candy and have fun. And it's fun to watch people, adults, dress up like, you know, whatever they're doing for their theme, it's fun to hang out and have a good time. We're going to start a new series this morning called Spirit Wars. Does that look like Star Wars? That's the idea. Anyway, Spirit Wars is the battlefield of the mind, if you want to have a subtitle. I've had it on my heart for a few weeks now to review a series that I did 4 years ago called Unmasking the Enemy. And that is available online if you want to go back and listen to it. I think I did about 8 weeks on it. I heard a statement several years ago in Bible college. The statement was, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I have found this statement to be true. Having a healthy understanding, not fear-motivated or fear-based, of our enemy is a must if we are going to live the victorious life that Jesus died for us to have. In this series, I want to talk about who Satan is, but mostly we will end up focusing on how he tries to operate in our day-to-day lives. Sometimes, and he's a cloaker. He covers himself up. He does things and then tries to blame it on God. Have you ever noticed that? Or someone else. He's constantly pushing the blame, okay? He's just that way. So let's look at a couple of scriptures just as an introduction this morning. Let's go to Ephesians 6. These are just kind of, I'm not necessarily planning on commenting on these. But let's go to Ephesians 6 and we'll start there. They're just foundational. I may get to them later on in the message, but turn to Ephesians 6 and I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the teaching anointing. Lord, I know that your word, as it comes, brings light. Lord, I know that your word transforms the way we think. Father, I know that you are faithful to watch over your word and perform it. I won't accept anything else, Lord, because you told me not to. So, Father, we come together in unity as a body this morning, unifying our faith in expectation to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I ask for boldness and utterance, and I thank you that love brings forth truth this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody that agreed said amen. Verse number 10, Paul says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Notice that we got to do something against the devil. We have to stand against him. "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against" what? "Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then he talks about the armor of God, which I don't want to go into right now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you don't feel like you can keep up by turning pages, I know they put it on the screen, but you can also just jot it down and then look at it later. These are just laying foundation for what we're doing here this morning and in this series. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. Paul makes this statement, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Then he says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not carnal. That basically you could say they're not natural. Okay, "The weapons of our warfare are not natural," they're not carnal, "but mighty in God for the pulling down of" what? "Strongholds." Okay, strongholds. Those are places. A stronghold is a place that is established or fortified. Okay, it's a place where I always think of, I don't know if it was D-Day, but when we were going in to take out Germany in World War II and we went to that beach. And what was it, Normandy? So we're going in, and I don't know if it was exactly this way, but in the movie they show these fortified concrete established places with big guns in them, and the guys would hunker down. That's what I think of when I think of a stronghold. The enemy will do this. He'll try and possess in you places and establish what? Strongholds. Now watch this. Look at the next verse. So he just got done talking about strongholds. He just got done talking about that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what does he associate these strongholds to? Verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Watch this now. "Bringing every thought into captivity." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I am who you say I am. Right? Do you see that? So you are, what Paul's saying here is, don't let the enemy establish images of you that aren't images that Christ made you. Do I need to say it a different way? Don't let the enemy form in your mind an image about you that Jesus Christ did not create you to be in his death, burial, and resurrection. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so I'm not going to teach on that. I want to, but I'm not going to right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's another one. And this ties in exactly with what Paul was just saying in chapter 10 there. And it says this in verse number 3. Paul made this statement, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The what? The simplicity that is in Christ. You think about that. This is not complicated. More often than not, it is simply a faith issue. And it's simply a wrong perception. See, you don't need to try and get more power. You need to release the power that's already in you already. This is the revelation that Paul gave us. Was Christ in you the hope of glory? That was the revelation. So this morning I want to do this. I want to go back and take a look at our enemy. Okay? I want to talk about the devil and who he is. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. I want you to see through the word of God what Satan is, what he is like. Because if we're going to be effective against our enemy, we need to understand how our enemy operates, who he is, what his character and nature is. Does that make sense? So we need to understand that. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. It's way back. How many been to Ezekiel before? Ezekiel chapter number 28. Chapter 28. Could there anything good come out of the Old Testament? I think so. Hallelujah. All right. Ezekiel chapter 28. This is a lamentation for the king of Tyre, okay? Not T-I-R-E, not tire, like road tire, like T-Y-R-E. Lamentation, chapter 28. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 28. It is a lamentation. Verse number 11. The word says this, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying," so this is a prophetic word. Verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God." So I want you to understand this. This is what's called the law of double reference. Okay. So this was a word to a natural situation. But what we're going to see is a reference to a spiritual truth that's connected behind the natural. Does that make sense? Because everything is motivated by something. Okay, you could be motivated by God, you could be motivated by your flesh, you could be motivated by the enemy, you could be motivated by the influence of somebody else in your life to do something. Does that make sense? The motivations are not often seen, and so what we're doing is we're giving you a picture of the enemy so that you understand his motivations. When you understand the enemy's motivations and his words, it won't take you long to figure out, that's the devil, no, I won't follow that, I'm going back to the simplicity of Christ. No, I'm not guilty. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on. Okay? How many have had this thought come to you? Well, you did this 10 years ago. That's why you can't do this. Well, you did this last week, so don't think you can believe for this. This promise doesn't work for you. And that's when you need to stand up in the simplicity of Christ and say, no, let me explain to you, devil. I can because of what Jesus purchased for me. This is not a relationship of works. It's a relationship of by grace through faith. So I don't receive based on my own works. Now I may open the door to the devil in my life by my own stupidity. But guess what? There's forgiveness and repentance. Amen? And God is good. Somebody say God is good. And his mercy endures forever. That covers tomorrow. That covers the span of your life. For got it covered. Both ways. Amen. He says this, verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." What was the devil? He was what? Created. Which means what? He is not a creator. He was created, which means he was not. He is not a creator. So what does that mean? That means he's not on equal level with God. I mean, I've seen seen pictures of this. People posted on Facebook. If you had, I'm not picking on you. I'm thinking of a different, this was on the back of a vehicle. They'll show a picture of Jesus and the devil arm wrestling. No. No, there's no arm wrestle. Yeah. God didn't even get up off his throne to cast, when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't even, demons were not, the Bible says they were cast out by the finger of God. Does that sound like an equal opposite to you? It's like you running up to me, me going, think. Gotcha. Our God is so much bigger than the enemy. Amen? So he says this, verse 14. You were the anointed cherub that who covers. I established. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was talking to the king of Tyre. And all of a sudden now the king of Tyre is an anointed cherub? Do you know what a cherub is? People say, yeah, it's that little fat baby that goes around and shoots people with a hearted arrow. No, that's not a cherub. That's just Valentine's Day stuff. That ain't spiritual. Okay? No, a cherub, this is an angel that God created. So now we're into this reference thing where you have a second thing being stated here. So he says this, I established you. This is God talking. You were on the holy mountain of God. Was the king of Tyre ever on the holy mountain of God? No, he was not. He's on earth. This is Ezekiel on earth prophesying to another king. So what is this? What is being seen here? You say, well, what's the point in saying that? Come on, think with me. Think spiritually, would you? Think about it this way. The enemy is operating through an authority established on the earth to influence the earth. So God is not only dealing through the prophet with the king naturally, but he's dealing with the spirit behind the king. This is why it is vital that we pray for those in authority. Even if the person you wanted to get elected didn't get elected, at least pray for the one that did so that you can mess up their plan if it isn't godly. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he will. He'll get in that person's dreams. He'll come on. As long as the people of God are in the right position with the Lord, we can have influence, amen, for the kingdom of God, amen. This is why it's so vital. So the enemy is behind the curtain. How many of you remember, ever watch Wizard of Oz? Unless it was tabooed in your house growing up. But the Wizard of Oz, what was the Wizard of Oz? You remember seeing the big smoke and this image of this, and then the Toto, the dog, pulls the curtain back, and who is the Wizard of Oz? He's this sorry little spineless bugger. Standing behind the curtain, going, I am the great Oz. And he's trying to cover the curtain, you know, and all that stuff. Maybe we need to watch that just for spiritual reference. and that's how the enemy is. He's behind the curtain trying to cause trouble. He's behind the scenes trying to get you and your spouse to fight. Come on. He's behind the scenes trying to cause problems in the family. Problems in finance. Problems here. He's constantly doing it. Amen. So he says this, you were the anointed cherub that covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. I'd like to see those one day. You were perfect. What was he? In your ways from the day you were till iniquity was what? Can I ask you something? Does God find things in his creation by accident, just all of a sudden, I didn't know I put that in there? The answer is no. God did not create the devil, the devil. Come on. God did not create the devil, The devil. Now, we have to hit this, because people think somehow God and Jesus have, God and the devil have some sort of secret contract that they shook on behind the throne. Now, you're going to do a bunch of evil, right? Yeah. Well, I'll be the good guy. You be the bad guy. Shake on it. That did not happen. Is God all-knowing? Is he omniscient? Is he omnipresent? Is he all-powerful? And yet, he found iniquity in the devil? I thought he was all-knowing. I love this. The gears are moving. You can feel it. Yeah, that makes sense. In other words, and we're going to see it right here, Satan took what God established in him and twisted it. Because he said, I'm going to be God. Do you know you can take the gifts that God's given you and use them for you? It's the original sin. Satan started it. Why have these gifts? And people even say, I've got God-given gifts. Or they'll go to the even further extent and they'll say, I'm a self-made man. Really? Where did you assemble yourself? Inside your mother's womb? Or... how did you do that? Because I don't even remember being in there. Thank God. I bless you, Mom. You know? Okay? So, none of us are. We're all created by God. We all have gifts and talents. It's what we do with those. Amen. You know, some of the best singers in the world don't serve God. They use their gift that God gave them to worship themselves and the devil, whether directly or indirectly. They act like they, come on, think about it. I put in the hours. You wouldn't have any hours if it wasn't for God. Are you maintaining your own heartbeat? God is. Beat. Because he said, live. And that word's going inside you. Come on. Eat it by your stripes. By your stripes, you were healed. And that word will function in you. Amen? If you agree with it. Okay, so that's a side note. But it's a good one nonetheless. You were perfect in your ways till the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Not made in you. Found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within. And you sinned. There it is, right there. That's the first one. Right there. Who sinned? Satan did. Therefore, God did what? I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. Then he says this, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your... Now, is that God's fault? No. God made me
beautiful, and so now I'm full of pride.
I mean, not me. You could probably say it about other people, but, you know. Oh, no, I just can't help it. I'm just too pretty. Just too good looking. I can't help it. No, it's none of those things. No. He took what God did. How many know what God does is beautiful? Amen? Okay? So he took what, and he started twisting it. He started twisting. The Bible actually says he was filled with violence. Why use that word? Do you know what the word, have you ever looked up that word? That word means a disruption in the divine order of things. That's what it means, violence. It's a disruption in the divine order of things. In other words, there was divine order and disruption came in. He corrupted himself. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Does that sound like a tough battle? No, it wasn't tough. In fact, when it's all said and done, one angel... We'll tie the boy up. Does that make sense? One angel. Not a slew of them. Just one. You know, I heard Jesse Duplantis say one time, he said, I can't wait for that day. I'm going to ask the Lord, let me kick him a few times before he goes. I'm with Jesse. I'm going to kick him. Well, you should have mercy on everything. No, not on the devil. Somebody say, no mercy for the devil, ever. The word corrupted. So he corrupted his wisdom. It means to pervert. How many have ever heard that word before? Pervert. It means to change so that it is no longer what it was or should be. To change so that it is no longer what it was or should be. So in other words, I would say it this, and I added this part, to change something good so that it is no longer what it was or should be. So Satan took what God gave him. Originally, he was Lucifer, which means morning star, if you look it up. He was a bright angel. Apparently, he had some sort of musical whatever, because the Bible talks about timbrels and horns and stuff like that. And obviously, he was a beautiful creature, because it talks about the precious stones that were there. So what Satan did is he began to look at himself instead of his creator. Come on. Is there any selfishness in the earth today? Do you ever have to fight off selfishness? Satan did this. He started looking at himself going, I am something. Look at me. It's one thing to go, God, you're right. You have made me this. Man, I honor you. Thank you for what you've made. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you. It's another thing to go, boy, you did make something special here, Lord, didn't you? I mean, all in one package. I am just, I know it just bothers you, me saying that. People are like, is he serious or not? It's exaggeration for effect, okay? That's the wrong direction. It's okay to have confidence in who God made you to be, but confidence won't destroy someone else. Arrogance will. I'm going to crush you and you're never getting back up. That's arrogance. Understanding who you are and being confident says, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in His might, and I'm going to lift you up with me. You use what God has given you for something different. Satan did not do that. He used what God made him to be for his own glory. And apparently, he was so twisted and good at this, he got to the point where he was able to deceive one third of the angels. How many know that's the sorriest group right now that you've ever met in your life? They are the most miserable group that you will ever see. They listened to Satan, who gave up his place at the throne, and they gave up the anointing and the presence of God that they were in to go on some rampage to try and take over the one that created them. Well, that's a different perspective than what you've seen on TV, isn't it? I watched this movie, and Satan was this big old bad dude. And if you had proper perspective, God would go tink, and he'd be done. Amen. Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. You know where it says that Jesus, you can mark this down, but go to Isaiah 14. But you know where it says that Jesus, or that the Lord, it says that he cast Satan out and down? In Luke 10, 17 through 20, you're going to Isaiah. Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall as lightning. What does that mean? That means God threw him at light speed. Come on. Is that truth or what? Okay. It means God went, whoo, and somebody went, did you see that lightning? Actually, that was the devil. Oh. I mean, he could have said, behold, I saw Satan fall as a duck that was shot in midair, and it drifted to the ground. No, he didn't do that. He said, lightning. How quick is lightning? That fight was over quick. It's like, we are going to chop up. And then what happened in hell? What happened in that situation with the enemy? They had to regather. And Satan's like, well, we tried to take the throne, but that didn't work. Let's try his creation. Let's try man instead. Let's go after the next thing. Because we know we can't take him out. So let's go after the next best thing, the thing he loves the most. Right? The enemy attempts, and he's after that now. So Jesus, of course, God saw that. Let's look at Isaiah 14. This describes him again. And in verse number 12, we'll start. It says this, the prophet says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." Verse 13. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." How many know this is a bad idea? Just bad idea. "I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north." No wonder the Bible says that God sits in the heavenlies and laughs at his enemies. He is like, God doesn't hear Satan. I mean, what is he thinking? He is so deluded. He's thinking to himself, "I'm going to take out the farthest north. I'm going to the top. I'm taking it." And God's going, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, this can't be, he can't be serious." And he says this, "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north." Verse 14. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Then God speaks. How many know it's better? Now you look at this. What does God, now actions come, but what does God combat words with? Words. Come on. The enemy is feeding you words. God is feeding you. He says this, "Yet," God says, "you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Well, that doesn't sound like the farthest place in the north. Sheol is the underworld, Hades, or the world of the dead, including its accessories and inmates. That doesn't sound like a good place. It's the underworld. It's the place of no return. It's the place of exile is another term. But it's used of extreme degradation in sin. So where does Satan end up in this deal? He ends up in hell. It's the grave, hell, or the pit. Verse 16, "Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms?" This is derogatory. You do realize that. "Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners?" Doesn't that sound just like the devil? He made the world desolate. How is he doing it? He's functioning inside of authorities that God established for Adam and his children to walk and dominate in. But through deception, through the process of deceiving Adam and Eve, he was able to get into these places and begin to influence the world for his kingdom and his glory rather than God's. And that's why we have the spiritual battle that we do right now. So let's look at one more verse and then we'll wrap it up here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. So we see that Satan was not created evil. He chose to go that direction. And he made a decision that he shouldn't have, but it is what it is. And I'll just say this. Don't get hung up on why God allowed this or that. If the devil can get you into questioning, why did this happen? Or why do we have to deal with this? And why didn't God just make us all love him? I'll be honest with you. He doesn't want robots. Do you want your spouse to love you because they want to or because they have to? Come on. This gets down to deep issues in people. And the enemy ties people in knots over things that are, if you look to the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, they'll be lighted up and you'll go, "Oh, that's why it's that way." And you'll see it clearly. Amen? Genesis chapter 3. You can mark this down. This is where Satan got into the earth. So, from here on out, don't ever question why bad things are happening. Just go, don't sit back and go, "Why, God?" Just go, Genesis 3. I know, Lord. You showed me. Okay? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Boy, there's a little bit of addition there on that back end. And it says this, I don't know that that's that big of a deal, to be honest with you. That, in other words, that she said it that way. I know what's been said around that. I'm not convinced it's like a linchpin truth right there. You know what I mean? That it's the biggest deal that she said that. Because in general, she's right. God did say you shall not eat of it. Amen? So then it says this, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. All right? What did Satan say to God? I'm going to the north. I'm going to sit on your throne. What did God say in return? You're going to the south and you ain't coming back up. Okay? So it didn't work with God in when he tried to usurp in the throne, in the heavenlies, when Satan tried to. So what does Satan do in the next step? He goes down to man. Now, man had already been warned. Adam had already been warned that Satan was coming. You say, when? God told Adam to keep the garden. You know what that word keep means? Protect. Which what, and I heard Jesse Duplantis say this and I thought it was really funny. But he said that word keep meant, that was God saying, snake coming. Yeah, that's good. In other words, God told Adam, Adam, pay attention. Snake's coming. Something's coming to try and steal from you. Listen up. Pay attention. What's God doing today? Same thing. Hey. Your enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Don't lay back and go, oh, you know, I could just relax. I don't have to deal with these things. I don't have to deal with these thoughts. No. Snake coming. He's in the earth. He's functioning. You have to be on guard and be ready. Amen. Okay. So he says this. He says, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. In other words, God says you'll die. Satan says, you will not die. Who's right? Now, listen to this. Faith is as simple as just staying with what God said. Adam was sitting there, but he wasn't doing his job as a man. Should have stood up and said, no, we will die. We're not eating. What are you doing here? Get out. Come on. That's what he should have done. Now, we know he didn't do that, right? Obviously. For God knows, this is Satan, this is just like Satan, that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. How much evil do you want to know? That's my question. In this situation, how much evil do you want to know? And why do you want to be God? And that is the decision that Adam and Eve made. It's the same decision that Satan made. I want to be God. And man stands up. Come on. Humility is a big deal for believers. Amen. Thank God Jesus came and did it right. That's the same lie that the devil's been feeding people ever since. Well, you can control your own life. You don't want to control your life. You want God to control your life. Because that's where the blessing of God is. You know, there are people that are billionaires, billionaires. I mean, they got so much money, you know, they could roll around in it and put it in the fireplace and let it warm the house and they'd never run out. And they're the most miserable people you ever meet in your life. They're most miserable. Why? Because money doesn't make you happy. Give me a break. I can do whatever I want. How many have tried to just live by doing whatever you want? How miserable was that? People say, well, a little bit of it would be nice. Well, you believe God and stand on his word, he'll bring you more money. Well, you don't understand, I'm on a fixed income. Fixed to what? The government? God's not fixed. Sounds a little strange, but he's not. He has more than enough for you. You have to believe, amen, and it will come. Well, how's it going to come? That is not for you to figure out. It's for you to trust. So he says this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open. Notice after her husband ate. Boy, Rick brought that out at our men's meeting. I thought, my goodness, I had never seen that before. And I went, whoo. It's too bad for the women. You can't come to the men's meeting. So we get this kind of revelation, but we'll pass it on. I'm not causing division. I'm just telling a joke. I thought, man, I had never seen that before. Men are spiritual strength and leadership. Not, I'm going to dominate over every other person around because I got these muscles and I got all this drive and I got all this. Yeah, you have gifts from God, but you better get God's character in them. Amen. I'm believing God that God is raising up men in this church that know how to fight spirit wars, that are not ashamed to lift their hands, that are not ashamed to praise God out loud, that are not ashamed to live their whole life in service to Him and service and protection over others. Not afraid, not this false manliness that runs around, you know? Like the commercial I saw, that Honda commercial the other day. They're like, we made the car more rugged, and the guy's driving it, and he says, more rugged, and his wife's looking at him, and his beard grows out, you know, right then. And she's like, whoa, a beard doesn't make you rugged. It just makes you bearded. I don't know how I got off on that. Get up back on here. Okay, so then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So what is this in Genesis chapter 3 right here? What is it? This is the entrance point to Satan and all of his demons. From that moment on, what took place? Death, 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 death. Death was now in full operation. It immediately came into effect with the birth of Adam and Eve's first children. One murdered. Yep. And what did God tell Cain? Sin is crouching at the door, but what? You can master it. Did he say sin is crouching at the door and there's no hope for you? That devil, he's too big. You don't have a chance. Just give up now. You might as well just give in. It's over for you. There's no hope for you. Did God say that? No, he warned him. What is God doing through this process? He warned Adam and Eve. He warned Cain. He's warning you right now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sin is crouching at the door. Do not yield. And if you stand strong and realize, you go back over these verses, realize who the enemy is, and understand how his tactics operate, which is what we're going to get into more and more, you'll be able to stand with the Lord in the evil day and come out sparkling. Amen? Because you're a child of God. Stand with me. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, you need to come talk to me because we can pray with you and you'll get born again. Or if you've backslidden, you need to get back to the Lord and we can take care of that too. Or if you need prayer for anything, you can. We just come up right after service. We'll pray with you. But you're a child of God. You're not in a hopeless situation. God can see you through. Amen? Because of his ability and his strength. Say it with me. Say, I use my faith. I am not lazy. With my faith. The Lord is helping me see the enemy and know what to do. He's giving me wisdom. I don't respond in fear to the enemy. I respond in faith. I respond in strength according to the word of God with the sword of the Spirit. I submit to God, and I resist the devil, and he flees from me. Come on. He flees from me. Close your eyes. Picture it. Say it with me. He flees from me. And who's in me? Glory to God. You say, why do you have to do that? Because much of the church is taught they don't have any power or authority or anything. They're just taught, oh, the devil showed up. What are we going to do? Call somebody. Pray. In fear? People yield and do the word of God in fear a lot, Christians. And you cannot do that. It's a counter. It's like trying to mix water and oil. How well does that work? It doesn't work. You have to respond in faith. People say, well, that means I don't feel anything. No, you can feel something. Just respond in faith out of your heart. Your feelings are not you. They're just feelings. Oh, we're going to get into this and it's going to be so good. What do you mean my feelings are not me? Well, you are not a giant feeling walking around. I felt this and I felt that and I felt this and then I prayed and felt this and then something else happened and I got afraid and I felt this and people are all over the map. Because they don't understand faith. They're trying to function in truths outside of faith in the soul instead of in the spirit. And that's what we're going to get into because that's what the devil does. He tries to disrupt us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we honor and reverence this word because it's you. And we worship you. We thank you for it. Lord, every good thing that has taken place, we give you the glory and the honor. You are the one that is leading, guiding, and blessing everything that is going on. It is your will and it is your glory alone, no man's. So we thank you for your word. We will be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. Don't forget about believers meeting tonight. And then we have Wednesday night Bible study. God bless you guys. Sorry, Wednesday night trunk or treat. Not Bible study. If you come, we'll put you to work.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.